Our scripture reading is out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 4, verses 8 through 10 as well. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Father, we thank you that the word of God will go forth this morning. It will accomplish that which you set it to do. Your word will not return unto you void, but God will do exactly what you intended to do. And Father, we open our hearts to the Holy Spirit to be the great teacher, the guide on the inside. And Lord, I submit myself to you to be used by you today to speak forth your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, praise God. This is our Grow series. And as I was preparing for this week's section of our Grow series, we are on Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, where it's a fresh new look at the book of Ephesians. And last week, we actually left off with verse 14, but I like to back up a little bit because this is kind of the fun part of the book of Ephesians. I call it the fun part because it is where we talk about the armor of God. And so we're going to go back up to verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So we'll stop right there because we'll kind of catch everybody up in case you're watching online or you haven't been with us every week. This fresh new look at the book of Ephesians, we're looking at it with a specific lens set in mind. And that lens set, it spells grow. All right, because that's what we as believers want to do. This book, the book of Ephesians, is considered the pinnacle of the New Testament. It is considered the book that is designed to help the maturing of the saints. Mm-hmm. And God's desire is that we grow up in his things. That's his desire. Mm-hmm. And so the first G, the lens that we're looking at every verse with, is what was God's part in this particular verse? What did he do for us? What did God do? The second lens that we're looking at is what is our response to what God has done? There is always a response or a responsibility, if you will, to what God has done. If God has given us something, then there is something that we're responsible for. And then the third lens that we've been looking at is obstacles to overcome. Obstacles to overcome. Now, we just mentioned in some of those verses that I just read, it talks about the wiles of the devil, does it not? It talks about powers and principalities, does it not? It talks about rulers in the high places. It's talking about evil and the evil forces that are in the earth. The evil forces that are in the earth. And somebody said, well, you know, God's in control of everything. And I have to say, no, he's not, because Adam handed the right for Satan to be the God of this world, small g, God of this world. And it is not until Jesus comes back to redeem everything will God be totally in control of this earth. He is in control of spiritual things, and God is much greater than the devil. But see, God is a God of order. And when Adam was given the authority on planet Earth, and you can look at it in in Genesis chapter 1, you can look at it in Genesis chapter 2, all the way into chapter 3, you can see that Adam surrendered, if you will, the title deed to planet Earth. So when somebody says to me, why does God let all these bad things happen? The enemy comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. John chapter 10 and verse 10 tells us that. But it is Jesus who's come to give life and to give it more abundantly. We are waiting for the full redemption of the earth. Jesus died for all of mankind. He died for our sins. And there is a way to heaven. There is a way to heaven. But understand something. The enemy still has authority in this earth. And that's why in Matthew chapter 28, we have been given authority. We have been given his name, the name that is above every name. Philippians chapter 2, another one of the prison epistles. And so when we're looking at these particular lenses, we're looking at the verses in. We're doing this on purpose. It's a fresh look at the book of Ephesians. So God's part, our response. Obstacles we need to overcome. And then witness. What does our witness look like if we will just do what the Word of God says do? And as Pastor Christine so awesomely, I'm just so thankful that I've married a preacher too. When she gets to preach on her, I'm just so thankful. She speaks and she listens to what the Holy Ghost tells her to say. And she's bold about it. I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. And you should be too. You should be just as bold when God puts something on your heart. Just as bold as when I mentioned to you that our witness and how we are to live our lives, listening to the Holy Spirit, he leads and guides us. He's the greater one down on the inside. 1 John chapter 4, the greater one on the inside. And I mentioned to you how Brother Adam just felt impressed of the Lord to ask a lady last week, how was her day? It opened up an entire conversation. If we would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, God will open up miracles right in front of your eyes. If we'll just be sensitive to listen. But most of the time, we are so consumed with our own things that we're not even looking at what's happening around here, and we're not listening down here. And the enemy wants to stop you from reproducing yourself. That was one of the things brought out last week. All right, so let's go back there in verse 14. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, truth is a protector. But it is also, it's not only a defensive weapon, it is an offensive weapon. It is not only defensive, but I want you to notice something, that's what Paul talked, he starts out with truth. He starts out with truth. He basically says truth is going to be one of the most important things that you could possibly put on. Jesus told us, truth sets you free.
Amen.
The psalmist writes and says, thy word is truth. And if Paul is, and I can imagine, and some writers and preachers have imagined this, I can imagine Paul is probably, possibly even chained to a Roman soldier. Or at least he's nearby one, who's fully dressed, who is ready for battle at any moment. And the belt of truth actually was a reference to the belt that the Roman soldier would wear. And everything else that was important to the Roman soldier's uniform, everything else, with the exception of the helmet of salvation, pretty much everything else hung on that belt of truth. Mm-hmm. Everything in our lives should hang on what does the Word of God say. I'm going to say that again. Everything in our lives should hang on what does the Word of God say, because the Word is truth, and the truth will set you free. I think it's interesting because he says, and your loins, your midsection, is girded. That means strengthened with truth, because that's important. That's so important. In ancient battles, people, the enemy would go for the head or the midsection to mortally wound somebody, to kill somebody. They would mortally go after the midsection and the head. That's still the same today. That's still the same today. No, the army doesn't shoot somebody that they are in conflict with in the arm or the leg on purpose. What do? They go for the midsection. That is the place of reproduction. Or they go for the head. Those are the two places that the enemy comes after us with. And I want you to see this. Last week I brought it out that truth is so that you do not reproduce yourself. Now, if you've never led somebody to Christ, you need to try it, because it is a pretty awesome thing. And you say, "Well, I don't know if I know enough." Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Do you know him? I'm talking to believers today. Do you know him?
Yeah.
All right. And how many could attest that when you led somebody to the Lord, it was like one of the most thrilling things when you led somebody to the Lord, when you actually said, "Will you pray with me?" So that you could receive Jesus into your life. Because God's about reproduction. He wants us to be fruitful and multiply. He wants other believers to come. It's not, faith is not just a private thing. That is a lie from the enemy. Faith has never been supposed to be private. I'm going to prove it to you as we continue on today. All right. And it says, now let's move on in the parts of the armor. He says there, having the breastplate of righteousness. A breastplate actually was on top of truth. Okay? Because the Roman soldier would wear a garment, and he would wear the belt, and then the breastplate covered that belt. So what's underneath? Truth. Truth. The righteousness of God, the righteousness of God is something that comes out of us based on the truth, and we, oh, come on. Based on the truth that it's not my righteousness. It's not my righteousness. But it's based on His righteousness. And He's righteous. Would you say amen to that? He's righteous, right? So, my outward expression of righteousness is a result of me girding my loins and my midsection with what?
Truth.
What's the truth? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The definition that you've heard me say countless times from this pulpit has been, the definition of righteousness is the ability to stand before God without the sense of guilt or shame or inferiority, as if sin never even existed. Now, if you get a hold of that truth, which I believe you are, you're getting it, right? And you've got it. How many in here got it? It's not going to get it. I got it, right? That's why when the enemy comes and whispers in your ear and says, "You call yourself a Christian." How many of you have ever heard that?
Oh, yeah.
I've actually heard it out loud. You heard it out loud before?
Yes.
Yeah. Why? Because the enemy is the prince of the power of the air. And he will, the thing that you fear, the thing that you, that's a chink in your armor, he'll get people to say that. He'll give voice to the very thing that you're struggling maybe with a doubt about. And somebody will come along and say that very thing. And that's why you've got to go back to truth. You got to go back to truth. Well, what does God's word say? I am the righteousness of the devil. That Doug is dead. He died a long time ago. See, this is a new Doug in Christ, right? So that Doug's dead. I don't know what you're talking about. You need to bring truth back to the enemy. That's what Jesus did when he was tempted, right? That's what he did. Now, it says here, above all, taking the shield of faith. I'm sorry. Back up to verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 15 is where we're at. Sorry about that. So, having shod, that means having your feet protected with what? The gospel of peace. Now, this is an interesting visual. And I've taught on this before. But the Roman soldier actually, his sandals were not some of these sandals that, you know, today we wear. His sandals were actually weapons of war. His sandals were sandals that had spikes in the bottom of it. They would wrap all the way up to his thigh, and they were strengthened, and they were tied tight so that in battle they wouldn't fall off. Church, in battle, your witness should never fall off. In battle, when you're going through a difficult time, that is not the time to stop sharing your faith. That is not the time to get quiet. That is not the time to just, you know, oh, well, I'm just dealing with my health right now. No. You open your mouth. You open your mouth and you speak forth the goodness of God, that everywhere Jesus went, he healed all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. And even though the enemy's trying to afflict you, you open your mouth with the gospel of what? Peace. God's not mad at you anymore. He's mad about you. He loves you that much. Jesus came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. The gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. I think about these Roman soldiers marching down the street. It was not a quiet thing. It wasn't just walking down the street. No. When you've got spikes in the bottom of your shoes, you heard them coming. You heard them coming. And it was a sound that just rattled the enemy. The gospel of peace rattles the enemy. Now think about this. I've already repeated it a couple times now. If truth protects you so that you continue to reproduce yourself and see other believers come to faith in Christ, see other people come to faith in Christ, think about the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is, the gospel of peace is coming. It's a weapon that the enemy can't stand. And when you are walking and marching in unity, and you're walking down the street, a force of numbers, there is a sound that comes with the gospel. And it's a sound that the enemy can't stand. We started off this whole passage that we just started reading today, and I went back to verse 10, right? What? The weapons of our what? Our warfare. You're in a war. And it's not against people. You're in a war, and it's not against people. The gospel of peace is a weapon against who? The enemy. Well, you're taking territory from him every time you share the gospel, every time you get somebody to receive Christ, to hear the gospel, to hear your story. I was once lost, and now I'm found. You know, often I will share my testimony. But what about my recent testimony? What about things that God does for me now, today? That's a testimony of God's goodness. When I'm at work and I'm actually seated next to somebody that has a lot of different values than I do. And to quite honest with you, sometimes I've avoided them. Because they had totally different values than me. But God. I remember that I've got the gospel of peace. My feet are shod. That means I am ready for battle any time. And so I am not fighting against a person who has different values than me. I'm not fighting against them. I'm called to love them. And the enemy can't stand it. And I'm sitting and I'm forced in a meeting style exercise where they give you exercises to work with people, where I actually have to interact with somebody who has different values than me. You know, God's good. He's good. And he breaks down walls. He breaks down walls. And that person, every time they saw me for the next several days, hey, Doug, before that? No. What is that? The gospel of peace. You know, Romans, I believe it's Romans 15:13. It's not in my notes. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. If you're wearing the right shoes, I know, ladies, you like your shoes, but now it's become a thing with guys. I mean, shoes. They call it the shoe game. And I mean, it's girls and guys participate in it, but it's a big deal. It's a huge deal. I mean, they're buying and selling tennis shoes like people buy and sell stocks. It's crazy. But you got to have the right shoes on. Well, us believers, we got to have the right shoes on. Having our feet shod, that means strengthened. Remember, the Roman soldier's shoes were so tight on him that he could take the enemy and he could kick the enemy and inflict damage. Now, the gospel of peace is different. When you've got the gospel of peace on you, it's the love of God, Romans chapter 2, that causes somebody to repent. You just kind of kick a little love of God on somebody. And you know what? The enemy that's trying to keep that person from Christ, he's got to go. Because you have a strong weapon. What did Paul tell us? He said, the weapons of our warfare, they're not natural. No, no, no. They're not natural at all. They are supernatural. They are mighty through God. And when we understand that and walk in it, I'm not just talking about head knowledge. I'm not just talking about, oh, I've been a believer forever. I'm talking about this week. I want you to know you have mighty weapons at your disposal. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal. I am not fighting with a culture. I'm standing my ground. Remember I told you? Stand. Stand is having done all to stand. Stand. Take territory for the kingdom of God. You take territory every time you speak forth truth. Every time you stand up for truth. Every time you look for that opportunity. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means I am ready. I have, I've got these sandals that have so many straps on. They're just so stuck to me that I'm looking for that opportunity. I'm looking for the opportunity. I'm not avoiding the opportunity to share about Christ. I'm looking for it because I am ready for battle, ready for the You're hearing me, right? Right? Okay. So now, he goes on to say, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16, above all, that's a pretty strong statement, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, again, go back to our acronym here. God's given you these amazing weapons. But the second part here is above all. Take. Take is a verb. That means you have a part to play. You've got to do something to put faith in action. Now, I'm going to show you a little illustration here. Most of the time when we think about the shield of faith, this is a kind of a Sunday school lesson. This is what we think of. This is what we think of, right? We think of, ooh, do, do. Oh, I see the fiery dart coming. Do, do, do. That's what we usually think of. That is not what a Roman soldier's shield was. A Roman soldier's shield was actually never meant to be independent either. It was never meant to just be, well, this is my shield, and I'm going to just go to battle with my little shield. No, not at all. In fact, when it says, take the shield of faith, and even this isn't big enough, but it'll give you the idea. The shield of faith, this is a door. The Greek word for shield was actually door. It was a door the size of a man. Now, can I pick on you, Sylvia? Can you come on up here? Come on up. Bless his heart. Hallelujah. All right. Come on, Sylvia. Silvio is not a small guy, okay? He's an imposing figure. And if he were a Roman soldier, I want you to see how big a shield would be. He would have a helmet on here. The helmet would probably have some feathers, something decorating it, because they kind of were into that. And but the helmet would cover part of his head, but the shield would be at least this tall. It would be at least this wide. And it had hooks that would hook to the belt to stabilize it. And not only would it just be for him, but that meant that he has a brother in the army, if you will, who also has one. And when they would rush the enemy to take territory, remember, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. I want you to remember the context here. These shields had little hooks that would hook onto each other. And there would be very little gap between the two of them. And then they did something also pretty unique. The guys that were behind them would put them over the top and hold these shields over the top. And in a sense, it was like the first armored car. And there would be maybe 10 of them that would have this formation, and they wouldn't allow anything to get in. What am I talking about? Fiery darts of the enemy couldn't get in as long as I stayed close to my brother. As long as I stayed close and hooked in and didn't let there to be any gap, then the fiery darts that come, and they were fiery darts. In the Roman times, they would light with some kind of flammable oil. They would light their arrows and try to penetrate and get into to hit somebody's head, to hit somebody's heart, to hit somebody so they could mortally wound them. And that's exactly what the enemy tries to do to us as believers. So that's why we have to, what? We have to stick together. That's why it's important for you to be a part of a local church. Stick together. Be together. Why? Because in that space, you together, not just one, but together you extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. So when the enemy shoots the arrow, it just bounces off of what? The shield of faith. Amen. Thank you, brother. He's a good sport that way. So it comes from the word, door, because they also would use this as a place to open up and allow people to go into safety inside of these enclaves that they would have. God's calling us, he's calling us as a church to stick together and take territory. Do you see that? And these shields, if you will, there would be a door to allow people into safety, just like the ark. The ark was a place of safety for Noah and his family. These shields were also a place of refuge and safety for important people, nobility, sometimes just people who needed to be out of the enemy's way, the ones who would get trampled on, the women, the children, the ones who were not at warfare at that time. And so when you understand, and when I understand this, it's going to be that much more important to make sure that our shields of faith are connected together. And how do we get faith? Well, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And James tells us that our faith is worthless unless we do the word of God, right? So when we do the word of God, when it comes to faith, our faith is then strong, and we're not out here trying to just be me and Jesus. Just me and Jesus. Well, it's just me and Jesus with a little tiny little faith shield like this. You're not totally protected. Not unless you have the full armor of God. The full armor of God is not just you by your lonesome self. The full armor of God has to do with connecting with other people of like precious faith. That's why you've got to stay connected. You stay connected in order to not just be protected, but you stay connected so that you can be effective. So I'm going to say that again. Staying connected is not just so you can be protected. Staying connected is so you can be effective for the kingdom of God. To take territory. To what? Stand your ground is to take territory. That when your foot touches another place, you are taking it for the kingdom of God. The armor of God has so much to do with our knowledge of God's word. God, it all hinges back on his word. That's why the belt of truth is so important. The breastplate of righteousness, so important, because we understand our righteousness comes from him. He's done so much for us. Now our responsibility is to take it up, put it on purpose, having your feet shod, that means ready for battle, tightened up, not giving in to our flesh, what are we going to have to overcome here? We're going to have to overcome laziness. We're going to have to overcome not speaking against God's word, but speaking in line with God's word. Why? Because faith speaks to mountains. Faith speaks and faith does not doubt. So that's why even that word that I felt like the Lord gave us this morning about, if you're singing a sad song, stop singing it. Start singing a happy song. If you're singing an excuse song, stop singing it. Stop singing the excuse song and do what God's telling you to do. And the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 15, if you'll speak to the mountain, believe in your heart, speak to the mountain. That's faith in action. And when you are together with believers of like precious faith, you're speaking and you are taking territory as you continue on. And I love the second part of verse 16. You're able to quench all. It didn't say some, did it, Brother Adam? All the fiery darts of the enemy. The enemy is going to attack. Know it. Don't be surprised by it. When it happens, now every flat tire you have is not the enemy. Sometimes you just were negligent to check it. Every time your engine seizes up because there's no oil in it, it's not the enemy. If you didn't change the oil or check the oil, that's on you. But there is a real enemy. There is a real evil in the earth. And the enemy will send fiery darts. And guess what, church? He'll do it even in the congregation. He will do it. He will try to separate people. He will try to do things to people physically with sickness and disease. And what do? We come against it in the name of Jesus. We believe God for healing. We surround that believer in faith, hooking up with what? Those shields. Clipping them in. Nothing's going to get in here. Nothing's going to get in here. And when you read about the persecuted church, that's exactly what they do. That's exactly what they do. They hook arms together. They don't let anybody in that shouldn't be in. And when they let somebody in, it's so they can preach the gospel to them. During the Cold War, I love one of the stories that was told several times when I was a student. They would talk about how in the Soviet Union, they would come in and the church would meet in secret. And I'm talking about believers. They would meet in secret. And one day, soldiers came in with their machine guns and everything and told walked in and said, okay, everybody who is a true believer, line up on this wall. And then they said, if you are not a true believer, you can go now. And a bunch of people left. And then when they left, they locked the door and they said, good, now let's have church. I mean, that's pretty gutsy, isn't it? Well, there are places all over the earth that it's not easy to be a believer. So what do? They don't let anything keep them apart. And they close ranks. And they are taking ground. Right now, the church in China is growing at a pace unbelievable. Churches in North Korea, churches in Iran, churches in places that's very difficult to be a Christian. I want to encourage you, believer, here in the United States, let's use the opportunity to have our feet shod. Let's use the opportunity that every chance you get, And it's not just about, oh, we want them to come to church. We want them to come to church, absolutely, if they don't have a home church. But we want them to know Jesus first and foremost. That Jesus would be lifted up, and that you would be confident in leading somebody to Christ and sharing the good news of Jesus. It's not hard. And everyone in this room, because I know you all, everyone in this room could do it. Every one of you could do it. And some of you already are doing it. And that's awesome. We applaud that. We're in your corner. We're there. And, you know, we're living in a world, but we're not fighting against the culture. We're fighting against principalities. We're fighting against the forces that the enemy has in place. But he knows his days are numbered. And so it seems like he's turned up the heat a little bit. That's okay, because we can turn up the heat too. Because as those Roman soldiers marched down the street with those shields in place and those feet shod, you could hear them coming. And when they come, it sent terror through the enemy's camp. And that's what God wants to do with you this week. That as you hook up in the things of God in faith, just see yourself marching through in that neighborhood, that job, that situation that might be difficult. You're just marching through, and maybe get somebody to pray with you. Get somebody in this church to pray with you and say, I've got a situation at work. Pray with me. I know Brother Adam's done that with me. Hey, I got a situation. I've prayed with him. Some of you have done that. Do it with each other. Would you pray for me? I've got a situation. April was talking about it at pre-service prayer this morning. It's like, okay, let's pray. Let's pray. And what are we doing? We're hooking up our shield of faith together. We're using the Word of God. We are have our belts. What? Our belts of truth. And we're seeing God do great things. We're seeing people come to Christ in this church. We are seeing people come in. We're calling them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We're seeing this church grow. We are seeing it. It is now. Breakthrough's not tomorrow. Breakthrough's now. And we're believing it. We're seeing it in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Did you get something out of today?
Amen.
We're going to finish up the book of Ephesians next week in our Grow series. And it's going to be great. And I believe that God has more in store for us. Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that it has the power to change us. It has the power to cause our thinking to be different. That it has the power, Lord God, to adjust us where we need to be adjusted. Father, I pray that if there be anybody who does not know you, who's watching online, I believe everybody in this room knows you. But Father, I pray right now, I've been talking to believers, but if there's anybody that was watching that has either been away from God or does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we're gonna pray. And Lord, I believe that when we do, there'll be those that need you, that need to come back to you. They will come back in the name of Jesus. So let's just all pray a simple prayer of salvation and rededication, just so that those that are watching online might be encouraged. Just say, Father God, I come before you
in the name of Jesus.
I believe in my heart
that Jesus
is the Son of God.
That he died for my sins.
That he was raised from the dead.
And I believe
that I'm forgiven. And I receive that forgiveness.
I call Jesus
my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name,
amen.
If you prayed that prayer with us online, we'd like to know about it. You can message us on the Facebook Messenger app. And we would like to know so that we can send you some things, maybe help you find a good local church. It's important to be connected. And that's so important. So we want to help you in your journey. If anybody needs any extra prayer today, I'll be available to pray for you. If you need ministry and you're watching online, I want you just to go ahead and message us. I did get a message from Pastor Michael Ondruk from the Jeseník area of the Czech Republic. And he asked us that we would pray for the Jeseník area of the Czech Republic. They had tremendous flooding. And many, many people were affected. The entire town was just inundated with mud and water. Many businesses lost, and many people, some of the believers even lost their homes. And the church there that I've preached at many times, they were flooded, and they have mud, and they're cleaning out. And that all happened like within the last week, a lot of rain in Central Europe. And so I just would ask that we would all just pray right now. Lord, we pray, God, for the Moravian area of the Czech Republic. We pray for Pastor Michael.
Yes.
We pray, God, for the pastors in that area, Lord, that they would be strengthened. Lord, that those that have been affected in the churches, Father, that they would be helped. And Lord, that there would be supplies and food and things of that nature that would come and help them. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand as we have our closing verse right now. Hallelujah. Psalm 121. Hallelujah. All right, let's go. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. We'll see you next time.